This is the Happy House Hunters Group, and we go through the six F's of real estate every 6 months. So we start with finding the real estate and then funding the real estate, finally fixing the real estate, flipping it, filling it. Finally, what is your freedom number in real estate? And tonight we're talking to Brooks Humphreys and to Nancy Baker, and we're talking all about flipping this month. And so we want to talk about how we get the funding for those flips. So we're going to start off by turning it over to Brooks.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate you having me join, and hello to everyone out there. Thankful to be here tonight. So my company is Wildcat Lending. And I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with Wildcat, but we started in Texas, expanded to Ohio in 2019. So we've been open for business in Ohio, and our primary market is Columbus, which I know that most of you guys are located in Columbus. So we've grown quite a bit over the last 2.5 years. So I'm not sure if anyone out there has done a deal with Wildcat, but if you did, hopefully you had a great experience. And we hope that you'll continue to bring your deals to us. So Kathy's asked me to speak, you know, kind of, I'm going to go through like hard money 101, I call it. And the way that I encourage, you know, people, if you've heard of hard money, a lot of times in the market, it has a negative connotation, and it's expensive, right? It's expensive funding. And in short, it's short-term loans for real estate investors. So the reason it's more expensive than say a traditional loan, which if any of you own a primary residence, I'm sure you're familiar with the financing process there. So those loans are going to be, you know, you hear those rates quoted all the time on the news and in the newspaper. You know, currently I think interest rates are kind of going to 4%, maybe a little bit above 4% is what I've been hearing recently. And any hard money lender, whether it's Wildcat or anybody else, is going to be much more expensive to that. So the trade-off is really convenience. Okay. So we can fund loans. We funded a loan last week, actually, in 24 hours. So for the convenience and the underwriting process, it's very different than your traditional lenders that you may be familiar with. And they're going to ask for your W-2s, the income verification, you know, a lot of different documentation, all that stuff. From a hard money lending perspective, we're going to base the loan really on the property, number one. So we want to know, do we like that property? And because it's considered an asset-based loan. So the asset is the real estate that secures the loan, as opposed to a personal guarantee or your W-2 or your income. So we're just securing the loan a little bit differently, and that's why it's a little bit more expensive. So the way I encourage people to think of it is it's simply another tool in your toolbox that you're using to, what Kathy said, to flip houses. So most of those primary lenders that you're used to working with on your primary residence, they're not going to loan on a property that needs significant repair, that needs plumbing work, that needs electrical. They just simply won't finance that at all. So from Wildcat's perspective, we will fund up to 90% of the purchase price and then 100% of the renovation. So we're going to fund a much higher number. We're going to take much higher leverage, and we're going to base the value on the after repair. So we're going to look at the property in its current state. So most of the time, the properties that people bring us need quite a bit of repair, but we're going to base the value, and we do what's called a BPO, which is a little bit different than an appraisal. It's really the same information, but we can do that through a license, which BPO stands for broker price opinion. So we go to a very experienced brokers in the Columbus market. The people that do our BPOs, and this is what enables us to move so quickly and close those loans. Our average close time is about 10 to 14 days. And we routinely close loans in 7, you know, even less. We don't like to do that because it becomes a fire drill for everyone involved, for our staff internally to process the loan, for the title company to fund it. You know, all those different things have to be, you know, really, really expedited. So it can be done, but again, preferably we like to have 10 to 14 days. If people call us with a 30-day close, I mean, that's like a walk in the park. So no problem there. But like I said, I like to consider it a tool in the toolbox. And you'll hear a lot of people in the market talk about private lenders, hard money lenders, and then your primary lenders. Hard money lenders, the pros, there's pros and cons to each. Hard money, which is Wildcat, you know, we are going to, like I said, fund quickly. We're not going to run out of funds, and you can come to us over and over and over. When people talk about private lenders, many of the time they're talking about a private individual who just decides to loan them money for a real estate deal. And that can be friends, family, you know, there's just individuals out there who create a little side business that they call, you know, they're a private lender. So the pros of that, it can be a very simple process if you find the right one. And sometimes they will fund more from a loan to value perspective than a lot of hard money lenders will. The downside to private lenders is a lot of times they run out of money. Number one, they don't have the funding capacity that a bigger company has, such as Wildcat. And secondly, a lot of times what we find is people tell us they have a private lender, and then those 1-2 day closes, they're calling us and saying, hey, my private lender backed out, something happened, they couldn't come up with the funds. You know, so just those are just some things to run into. I encourage people to use private lenders. If you have access to that, it's a really, really great opportunity if you can find a really good, dependable lender. Your more traditional lenders, again, going back to the primary residence, again, those typically are not an option for real estate investors as they just can't fund quick enough, number one, especially in this market when there's, you know, a good deal pops up. I believe everyone knows you have to be super aggressive. You have to close quick, and you have to be really good with your numbers. A primary lender just cannot expedite the process and get there in time to make that deal work. So that's just, I think, about a 5-10 minute overview. Kathy, would you like to open it up to questions?
Absolutely. And I do have a question. Can you do more than one hard money at the same time? Or is that just really depending on the deals?
Yeah, we can. So we typically,
The same person, more than the same person.
That's what I thought you meant. So we will loan, typically we like to cap it at 2 to 3 loans for a new borrower that we haven't, and until that borrower completes one loan front to back. When I say front to back, I mean, we fund their first loan and then they pay that loan off. That would be front to back. And so, but we definitely have borrowers that, you know, come to us initially, they've never done a deal with us. And then before they close that first loan, they'll have 2 to 3 loans. And we will typically cap it at that, you know, on that third loan. And that's going to vary based upon the borrower's credit profile. It's going to vary depending on the asset. I mean, if it's a, you know, low leverage loan, you know, when I say low leverage, like low loan to value, in a great area like Upper Arlington or Dublin or New Albany or Grandview, you know, in one of those what we call A-class neighborhoods, then it's certainly negotiable and we may do a fourth loan. You know, but if we're talking about, you know, 3 loans in some of the more transitional neighborhoods and the borrower's not quite as experienced and their credit rating is not as good, we're probably going to cap it at maybe 2 for that borrower. It also depends on the borrower's liquidity. And when I say liquidity, one of the things we look at when we approve a loan is how much cash or liquid funds does that borrower have in the bank? So liquid means stocks, cash, money market accounts, mutual funds, you know, funds that are not liquid is a 401k, any kind of IRA account, you know, real estate loans, that's not liquid. Does that make sense? So it's a definitely several variables that we take into account. And the way I always like to tell people is we try to use common sense. You know, we don't have a black and white piece of paper that says, you know, there's 5 bullet points and this is, it's take it or leave it. You have to do these 5 things. You know, we will try to understand that person's business, their background, again, their experience level. And we take all those factors and we try to make a smart business decision. So we really try not to say no. We really do.
How do you determine with your broker price opinion? How do you, do you have those folks on staff? Is it just folks that you generally use? I mean, how do you come up with the actual broker price for a property?
Yeah, so we use a brokerage called Beckett Realty Group. They're
okay.
So I'm not sure if you've ever heard of them, Kathy, but Matt and Kelly Beckett. So they used to be called the Beckett team. They just recently rebranded as Beckett Realty Group, just January 1st of this year. So the Beckett team, they are one of the largest REO brokerages in the United States. So REO stands for real estate owned. And when banks take houses back through foreclosure, they do the same thing. They hire a broker and have and have the broker do that BPO. So the Beckett team and Matt and Kelly Beckett, they specialize in valuing properties, estimating rehabs. And so they are by far the go-to place in Columbus and really in Ohio for that type of process. And they've done thousands and thousands of them for the banks. You know, in this market, there's very few REOs available. So their REO business is not what it used to be just because there's not a lot of foreclosures in this market. But their experience goes back 25 years. And so that's who we use to create our values.
Well, I'm kind of curious also, because again, I work with a lot of newbies in the real estate investing arena. And some of those folks, they're just learning the ropes and they're learning how to figure out what the rehab costs are going to be. And so if one of those folks comes to you and they say, okay, we've got this house and here's what our rehab cost is going to be, how do you kind of vet that, if you will, on whether they can get through that rehab on that amount of money? Do you have a team that goes out and actually looks at the house and decides if in fact that amount is enough to get them across the finish line?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So one of the things that we require when someone fills out an application and they send in their paperwork for the loan is a renovation budget. That's really when we find that loans don't close on time or we can't hit deadlines that the borrower likes, it's typically because we're waiting on the rehab budget. So we can't order that BPO until we have that budget. Because it's impossible for us to estimate the value of the property after repair until we know what improvements they're going to make. And so to answer your question, the person that's doing that BPO, again, with the Beckett team or Beckett Realty Group, they physically visit the property, take pictures, you know, they take that rehab budget and say, okay, they have, you know, $5,000 in the budget for siding, for example. And, you know, they have $2,000 for appliances and they have $5,000 for flooring and, you know, $10,000 for the kitchen and whatever it may be. If we find significant discrepancies in that rehab budget, that's when we're going to put the brakes on and go back to the borrower and say, hey, you know, we walked this property. You have, you know, $2,000 in your budget to renovate three bathrooms. We don't feel like that's going to get it done. You know, and so then we can go back in and ask additional questions, ask for additional information. And, you know, honestly, we try to help people through that process that are just starting. And we try to be a resource and provide education to them as well.
Wow, that's amazing projects that you guys do. I've been in a couple of seminars where I've listened to you speak, and I understand the whole flipping part. I'm a buy and hold gal myself. I understand the whole flipping part, but that just always scares me. Maybe I watch too much HDTV. I don't know.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. So the buy and hold, a lot of people, you know, the majority of our borrowers are flipping. However, there's many of our borrowers that come to us for their upfront financing because that property, again, it needs a lot of repair. Okay. They need to renovate it, get it rented, mm-hmm. and then they can go back to their primary lender and put long-term debt on the property. So they refinance our loan and then they put, you know, a longer-term loan on the property. And Wildcat, actually, I'm not sure you're aware of this, but just in February, we launched a new product it's kind of like a mid-tier product. And it's okay. 2 to 3 years. So it's a much longer term. Our fix and flip product is a 6-month term, which automatically extends to 9 months. So we'll call it a 9-month term.
Okay.
When that loan has to be paid off. Our new product, our mid-tier product, again, we have 2 to 3 years hold period for that, for people that need that longer term. They want to rent it for a while. Maybe they don't have, maybe they don't have 2 years of tax returns. They just quit their job and they're a full-time real estate investor and they still can't get that primary lender to do the loan for them because they want to always see those 2 years tax returns. So we can help people on the buy and hold side as well.
Now, what kind of an interest is on the midterm product?
So that's typically 8 to 9%.
Okay. And what is it on the fix and flip, the 6 to 9?
That is 10 to 12%, depending on borrower's experience, depending on the deal.
Okay.
And some other factors. I see, looks like Nancy has her hand raised.
Yes, Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy. Do you have a question?
I do. So with these houses, you know, you've got the flippers out there and the houses are just, you know, getting picked up right and left really quickly. So for that new first-time flipper, how can they approach this with your company as far as looking at the financing and having that ready to be able to pounce, so to speak, on getting that property that just didn't even, you know, no one even knew about it, but 10 people already tried to buy it up with cash offers?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Nancy. So we can always have people apply for a loan, you know, apply on Wildcat's website in advance before they have a property. And then we can also provide an approval letter or proof of funds, which, you know, if people are making offers, that's a hugely important piece of the puzzle. The seller's always going to want to see proof of funds. And, you know, we always get the question, can I make a cash offer if I'm funding through Wildcat? And I defer to your real estate agent on that. I don't answer that. So technically, it's not a cash deal. You're still financing the property. However, we function, you know, very closely like a cash deal. Again, in that we can close very quickly like a cash offer or a cash buyer would be able to. The one factor I would say that really it's tough to say your cash is the fact that we still need a BPO on the property, which is, you know, our version of an appraisal. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Good.
Well, I tell you, we've got quite a few newbies in our group. And one of the things that they're always pondering is how to come up with their numbers. Now, if you have a new person and they're struggling with putting their numbers together, we have some variations that we try to help them out with. We use some of the bigger pockets information as well. Do you have actual help sheets or spreadsheets or something that a newbie could plug some numbers into that would help them determine how much they needed to borrow for their rehab?
Well, we definitely can. We can send. So if someone has their projected purchase price, they have their projected rehab numbers, we can absolutely put that into what we call a fee sheet or a deal calculator.
Okay.
And it will show you how much money you're going to bring to closing. It will show you every fee associated with the loan down to the penny. And most of the time people want to know, you know, how much money do I need to bring to closing? And
right.
We can absolutely provide that 100%. And I want to make sure I understand your question. We don't provide kind of like a rehab calculator, if that's what you meant.
No, so they would have to actually put their numbers together and bring to you. But then once you did your BPO, if you found that their numbers maybe, like you said, weren't quite on target, do you give them some coaching or do you kind of lead them as to how much they should adjust?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things I was talking to Kathy about before the call started is that, you know, we like to be consultants and we really, you know, our business has grown exponentially over the last couple of years, not only in Ohio, but across the country. We started out in, like I said, in Texas. And by the way, I am local to Columbus and I should have said this at the beginning, but I'm a partner in the company. My responsibilities, I essentially run the Ohio market and I have a loan officer named Alex Rose. His email is alex@wildcatlending.com. I will put this in the notes, but Alex you know, if you guys end up doing a loan with Wildcat, you would work directly with Alex. I'm more than happy to take phone calls, respond to emails, whatever I can do to support you. But you would work directly with Alex. Alex is out of the country. He was going to be here tonight, but he's on a well-deserved vacation in the Dominican Republic. So, so I'm filling in
for him. We used to like Alex. We don't like him now.
Well, I hope he's having a good time, because, you know, Alex will answer his phone at 10 o'clock at night. He'll answer it on a Saturday at 4 o'clock. I mean, he really does provide great service, and that's how we feel that we really try to separate ourselves from other companies out there. And so we are local, like I said. And so absolutely, Kathy, to answer your question, if your numbers don't add up, and we always ask people for their opinion of the value when they come to us with the loan. We say, okay, what's your purchase price? What's your estimated rehab? And where do you see the value coming in? And we can provide a 30-minute, you know, evaluation. And we do this all the time. And we get back to borrowers in 30 minutes. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. And we say, hey, we're not seeing this ARV. You know, here's kind of where we have it without doing a formal BPO, but here's where we see it. And we think you need to be here on your offer, or maybe you can cut your rehab or wherever it may be. And we try to prepare people before they even go into contract, because we don't want them to go in and spend more than they should, or make an offer over what we feel is the value of the property and get in over their head. And so we are happy to do that. We do it all the time. I mean, every single day we're taking phone calls. We're saying, hey, let me look at it. We'll get right back to you. And that's what we try to do for people.
Now, when do you want to talk to these investors? I can just see maybe a newbie getting a little overzealous and going ahead and making an offer on something and then coming to you. And now they've already got maybe an accepted offer. How do you handle that if their offer is a little off?
So we just try to educate them. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do. If they're in contract already and they come to us and we think their numbers are not in line, it doesn't mean we won't do the loan. It just might mean they're going to have some more liquidity to come out of pocket, because they, you know, they may be offered too high on the property, and our loan to value is not really where we want it to be. So I spoke before about the 90% of the purchase price plus renovation is what our,
right.
So let me clarify that. So we will loan up to 90% of the purchase price plus 100% of the rehab, or 70% of the loan to value. And we run that calculation both ways, and then we take the lower number of the two. So the way that would look on paper, if I could just give a quick example. So if you are buying a property for $75,000 and you're going to put $25,000 into it for the rehab, your total cost is $100,000. We would loan 90% of that, so $90,000, okay? Or now let's assume once you put that $25,000, your cost is $100,000. Let's assume that property is now worth $150,000, okay? 70% of 150, if I'm doing the math in my head, I think is 105. Let me just confirm that. Yeah, that's 105. So our loan amount would stay at 90,000, because that's the lower. So that's okay. 90% of your cost, or 70% loan to value. Now, if your cost on that same deal, say it's a $35,000 rehab, and now your cost is 110. So now your 90% of your cost, let's say you're purchasing it for 75 and your rehab is 50. Okay. So your total cost is 125. 90% of that is $112,500. And it's still worth 150. In that scenario, we would loan amount would be 105, because that's the lower of the two.
Okay.
That's the 70% loan to value. Does that help?
It does. It does. Okay. Again, I'm trying to enter the conversation in the heads of my newbies. When you've got a newbie out there and now they're going down that path, they've got the loan, they're starting in on the rehab, they've got their contractors lined up. And so now, again, you said this is a 6 month fix and flip, but a lot of times it'll turn into a 9 month. What happens if they start to run out of time at the 9 month mark? How do you handle that?
So when it comes to 9 months, we're going to say, hey, they're going to get a payout, or I'm sorry, a notice from our company saying your loan is expiring. You know, do you plan to pay it off? And a lot of times borrowers will come to us and say, you know what, it's almost on the market or whatever the scenario is. As long as we can see that they're making progress and that property, we're probably going to do a inspection of the property to make sure that they're making progress and the renovation has been moving along. And by the way, we're going to do draw requests, through that process. So we have, if there's a $30,000 reno budget and at 15, the borrower spent 15 and they need 15 more, they're going to call us and say, hey, I've spent my $15,000, come out and do a draw request. We'll take pictures of the property, inspect it at that point, and release that $15,000. Now they can finish their rehab. So we have seen the property through the process most times.
Okay.
So to answer your question, we will work with people as long as we see they're making a good effort to get the property and the loan, to get the property back to the market and the loan paid off. And if it's a buy and hold situation and they say, hey, I'm just delayed on my refinance, here's my lender's contact information, they can confirm that we're waiting on the appraiser or whatever it is, then we're going to work with people. I will tell you, there are some fees to extend those loans, but we're not going to start the foreclosure process or anything like that as long as we see they're making a genuine effort to get the loan paid off. The last thing we want to do is foreclose on anybody. We don't want that. It's not good for anybody.
Right. And it's not good for you guys either. Exactly. Because then you end up with a property that you have to finish or liquidate or do something with. And so it's better, especially if they're close to the finish line, to just help them get on over the finish line. Now, if we have some new folks listening and you've heard those interest rates, I'm going to kind of tell how old I am here. I remember when I was in my 20s, good interest rates were in the teens. We were excited to have interest rates coming down to the teens when we were buying our first home. And I think my very first house purchase, I was 21 years old, and I was jumping for joy when I got into contract at 9%. And that was the FHA rate at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was back in the 70s. Again, I'm telling on myself on how old I am. But so anyway, it's not, it's just whatever the times are. And we just get so used to those interest rates being so low that when we hear of interest rates, in a midterm of 8 to 9%, and then a short 6 to 9 month term of 10 to 12%, those are actually relatively good rates. So just so for the newbies that are listening, don't be alarmed by those rates. Those are not bad rates at all. And again, I don't know what the housing market is going to do. Do you have any projections, Brooks? What are you thinking the housing market might do coming up in the future? And what do you think interest rates are going to do?
Well, I think in the short term, interest rates are going to continue to go up. By the way, I want to make a note and make sure everyone is aware that our interest rates don't necessarily fluctuate like a traditional loan would. So our interest rates were 10 to 12% a year ago, and they're still at 10 to 12% because we're not borrowing money from the Fed. So, and we don't do any Fannie or Freddie or anything. Everything we do is a private loan. So we can set our interest rates separately from any of the volatility in the market. So that's one thing. But I think interest rates on the primary mortgages, and if you're doing a refi on a rental loan, things like that, they're going to continue to go up. I mean, I think that the Fed has said they may have 6 additional increases this year is the most recent guidance that they released. As it relates to the housing market, so I think we have quite a bit of room to run, especially in Columbus. And it's really, I think a lot of people overthink it, right? So it's a simple supply and demand issue. There's been very little building in Central Ohio since the housing crisis back in, 2006 through 2010. And the houses that have been built have mostly been built at the 400,000 and up price range. Most of the customers that we work with on the flipping side are flipping homes in the first time home buyer price point. You know, we do some bigger loans sometimes, but our average loan size is like $150,000. And so there's literally been almost zero, there's been more than zero, but very few homes that have been built in the last 10 years in that price point. Mm-hmm. So there's just simply not enough supply to meet the demand. And when you look at the demographics of the millennial home buyers, which they are, the millennials is the largest generation in the history of the United States, and they are not quite to their prime buying years. If you look at their entire demographic of the range, I think millennials were born between something, I think it's around 1980 or 1981, and I can't remember when it ends, but the demographics just point to the fact that demand is not going to slow anytime soon. And with the lack of supply out there, I don't see it changing, you know, unless there's some black swan event in the economy. Obviously, the war in Ukraine is not great for the economy. But I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm an investor myself, and I can tell you I am full steam ahead. And I've been an investor well before I was in the financing business. I've been investing in Columbus and Central Ohio since 2009. So
interesting. Good to know. Good to know. And so there you go, folks. You've heard it from the professionals, the opinion of the professionals. Thank you for that, Brooks. That's always a question that comes up whenever I'm doing one of my masterminds with my newbies. That's always a question that comes up is, should we pull back? Should we go full steam ahead? So I agree with you, full steam ahead, especially in the Columbus market of all markets. The Columbus market seems to be on the upswing right now. Inventory is so low, lower than it's been ever that I can remember, as far as what's available out there to even buy. And we've got so much new stuff coming to town, which is going to bring jobs, which then the jobs are going to bring, you know, people moving into the area and then, you know, to work those jobs. And then those folks are going to all start looking for housing. So I think as an investor, we're sitting in a prime spot right now in Columbus, Ohio. Now, Christy, I don't know if you've had a chance to hear everything we've been talking about. But again, right now we're talking about the market and what we think is happening right now in Central Ohio. What is your opinion on the short term future and long-term future of real estate investing in the Columbus area, in the Columbus market?
I agree that we're uniquely positioned because of what's coming. But these prices just keep going up. So I think, yes, as investors, we're sitting in a pretty good position right now. And I know as far as Harvey and Josh and I are concerned, we're full steam ahead.
Okay. Yep. We're full steam ahead as well. And my next question to you, Christy, real quick is, you're actually searching and looking for properties, of course, for your organization. How hard are you finding it to actually come across those properties, in the short term? I'm hearing that the inventory is really low. What are your thoughts?
It's terrible. I'm getting ready to start door knocking houses because it's that bad.
How many do you try to find? What are your goals on finding properties?
I probably look at maybe 5 to 10 a day, and I can't get close on them because prices have just increased so much. I looked at two today that, both were listed for $85,000. Once I do my math, my middle offer on both of these properties would have been in the $47,000 range. That's how far off I am right now on making offers.
Because again, you're trying to make sure there's enough room in the deal to do the flip.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And right now there just isn't.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm going to probably start door knocking houses next week.
I get it. Every so often we run across a great deal, and when we do, we grab it. And so that is where Brooks comes in, because you have to have that cash ready to go. And so that's my next question to you, Brooks, is if somebody has you in their back pocket, can they make a cash offer on one of these deals when one finally lands in their lap?
Yeah, so I kind of, I touched on this before. I mean, technically, again, we are not cash because it is financing. So, but I leave it up to the real estate agent if there's an agent involved. If the borrower and the real estate agent, they want to make it as cash, then certainly they can do that. You know, we don't really play a role in the contract process. Technically, like I said, it's not. I will say that, you know, we have gotten to the point where a lot of people do know our name. And they see that Wildcat is funding the deal, they typically feel pretty confident that the deal will close. And that's ultimately what people, you know, what the seller wants to know. Is this lender and is this borrower going to close? And so, again, if we're being, if we're following the letter of the law, we are technically a financed offer. But I can tell you that our borrowers make offers all day long with us as the lender, but they write it as cash. So,
and did we, I'm sorry, I'm late, but have you guys discussed about how important it is to get pre-approved before you go out and start shopping?
We did. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. It's very, very important. Make sure you do that.
Well, yeah, because when it finally gets to go to the closing table, it goes fast. A lot of these offers and a lot of these deals, they just go so fast. The last one we did, we were able to offer cash. It was for a property in Hocking Hills, of all places. And we were able to offer cash. And from the time we actually saw the property was available, we hadn't physically seen it. We just saw that it was available to the closing table was 7 days. Yeah. And we actually physically saw the property the morning of the closing.
Oh, wow.
And we said, yes, all the way down the line just to get to the closing table, because we knew if we didn't, we'd lose the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy, that's how fast they're going.
Kathy, I'm going to have to jump off here. Is there, I'm happy to answer one or two final questions. I do have to be somewhere at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Real quick, Derek and Nancy, do you have any questions for Brooks before he jumps off? And then we're going to turn it over to Nancy next. But I just want to do one more round of questions. And I also want to mention in the chat box, there is wildcatlending.com. Alex's contact information is there. Brooks's contact information is there. You can open up the chat and make a screen print of it if you'd like. Also, this is being recorded. And in the replay, I will put all the contact information as well. So Brooks, Derek says no, but thank you, Brooks. And Nancy, any final questions from you before Brooks jumps off?
No, I'm good. Appreciate it.
Okay. Brooks, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. I really appreciate it. Again, what you offer is probably the question I get the most from my newbies is how to get the funding for these flips. And so thank you so much for this. This will go in their mastermind material as well. So thank you for that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. Good luck, everyone. And feel free to reach out anytime. Happy to help you guys.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Now, everyone else, please stay with us. We are going to segue over to Nancy, because one of the things that we do once we do a flip and you know, we find it first, you know, and like Christy and I were talking, you know, you got to jump on that deal and get it to the closing table. And once you get it there, you know, you have to get your funding in line. And that's where Brooks comes in. And again, he said that he could fund up to 90% of the purchase and up to 100% of the rehab, or 70% of the overall loan to value, whichever is less between those two formulas. And he works in both ways to see the formulas. And at that point, once you get to the closing table and now you've got the property and now you, and I see Derek has his hand up, but now you hire someone like Derek to come in and do the rehab for you. Now you're ready to actually get it back on the market. So before I turn it over to Nancy to talk about that, we're going to I'm going to talk to Derek and find out his question. Derek, what is your question, please? Or comment or contribution?
But I have a lot of friends that have used Wildcat Lending and had great success. And let's see, what else was I going to say? I think that was it. You know, I didn't want to interrupt with that, but earlier. Oh, also something about, oh, the way he was saying we're not technically cash. If you're, you know, that whole cash deal, it's not like you're showing up with a suitcase with cash, right? So private money lenders, if, you know, as long as that money is available to transfer right away, that's considered cash. And I think what Christy was saying, get pre-approved with these guys, then it's pretty much the same as cash. As long as they know you've got a proof of funds and that kind of stuff, you're good to go.
Yeah. And it, again, just getting a letter of proof of funds is it, you know, just again, submit that. Yep. Derek, are you still there? Did I lose you?
Oh, it's just a slow. I'm having trouble with my internet. Sorry. But yeah, that's all I had though.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Nancy, welcome. We're glad that you're with us tonight. Thank you so much. I know that Brooke Lawrence said that she had a crazy busy schedule today. I get that because I tell you what, these properties are just flying these days. It's, you know, as soon as one is ready, it is in contract. So tell us how we can make the properties look better, sell faster. Not that we can, not that we need them to sell too much faster because they're selling pretty fast as it is, but what can we do to get the best dollar out of that rehab project?
Good question. Thanks for having me, by the way. And I'm glad I could just jump in here and fill in for Brooke. Yeah, she just crazy today. And my guess is she had a lot of D stages. So the properties are going. My company is Simply Stage Design. So I'm a home stager and designer in Columbus, service Columbus and surrounding areas. What we're seeing today is really what you guys are seeing, that there's not enough inventory. And the houses are getting bought up as quickly as you can say, can I have it? So, and a lot of people are saying, a lot of realtors are saying, well, okay, that's what's happening. Why do we need to stage it? I don't understand. They're just flying off the market. People are snatching them up. They're buying them or renovating them, so on and so forth. Well, a lot of the flips that you see in Columbus, as you know, they were homes that were probably built, you know, a lot of them back in the 1800s, early 1900s. And a lot of that, the layout of the home is obviously being changed. And people really struggle with when they walk into some of these houses, well, I see it, I love it, but I don't get it. I don't know how I'm going to be able to utilize this specific space. And then on the flip side, the seller, our goal for the seller is to get them the best price for the house. So you can look at a house that is not staged. I go online all day long to the MLS and I look at these houses, and some I just cringe. I just go, wow, someone actually picked up a camera and took a picture of that and put it out for the public to see. And that house, you can look at how many days it's been on the market. Even in this market where houses are flying off the market, you still have those houses sitting out there that are just sitting because they, or they're getting these low ball offers because, you know, I'll walk into a house and go, this is a flip. You need to do something here if this is not a flip. So our goal is to make that house look great. And we don't just walk into a lot of houses and just bring in the furniture. A lot of people think, oh, you bring in furniture, rugs, art, accessories. Oh, just like on HGTV. Well, that's, yeah, a little bit true. Yet what we do, and particularly my company, we will go out to a house and we will do an assessment of the home. Even with the homes that have been flipped, there's things that we can recommend or, and a lot of times the flippers will bring us in before they're done to say, hey, help me with paint or carpet or whatever. They're just, you know, some people just don't have it. So we'll go out and do that. But with a house that, let's say, and I'll give you an example of one just this past week, The house was built in 1959, and there was not one thing done to that house since 1959.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we walked in, and I walked in, and I'm like, okay, love it. Has great nostalgic vibes. Yet there were things that needed to be done. And the owner wanted to get a certain price point. Like, well, right now, the way it is, I'm not a realtor, but I'm going to go out there on a limb and guess that's not what you're going to get for this house if we leave it the way it is. So recommendations were made, and it included painting, finishing the basement, and, changing out carpet and all that stuff, cleaning up the landscaping, cleaning the windows, removing the screens, changing out light fixtures. All of that goes into staging. So once that was done, then we went in and staged. And the owner did, it sold, boom. I mean, it was like a fight. He sold $30,000 over asking price.
Wow.
Amazing.
And didn't spend $30,000 to do those improvements.
He did not. And I can tell you what he spent. Overall, with everything included, I think it was about, I'm talking paint, carpet, staging, everything, I think it was like $4,500. So people think, oh, why do I want to stage? Why do I want to put that in? Because you want to stage because it's going to get, yes, it's going to sell fast. Maybe it won't, but we want it to sell fast, but we want it to sell for more money. If you do not stage a home and it's sitting there on the market, what is the first thing your realtor is going to recommend? Let's lower the price. Mm-hmm. And what amount do they lower the price? $5,000 to $10,000. So why would you lower the price for $5,000 to $10,000 when you could have staged it on average $3,200 and sold it for $10,000 over the asking price? Okay, so what are you out? You're out nothing. And this is what we try to convey and get people to understand. A lot of realtors are afraid to make that recommendation because, right now they don't want to lose a client. So we always say, let us come in. We're the bad guy. We are. Let the realtor sell the house. Let us get it ready to be sold. And when I go into a house, I'm very upfront, straightforward. We need to change the carpet. I've walked into people's homes that they've lived in and removed every piece of furniture that they have, put it in their garage. I come in and stage it. I don't care if they live on it. It's not going to be there for long. And the house sells. Boom. So it does make a difference. It makes a difference, especially in today's market, to get more money. It makes a difference to get that house sold quicker. It makes a difference with flips, because a lot of the flips, the layout of the house has been changed, and a lot of people cannot see what to do with that. We have an eye, we're trained. We have an eye to see what we can put in those special spaces and bring in, earlier you talked about the millennials. And this generation, it's crazy. And if there's millennials on this call, it's okay. Anyway, I'm just saying they want move-in ready. They want it to look perfect. They want repost gray with white trim. And, they want it all. They want to walk in and they want it all. Now, they don't even care if, and I'm going to say this, and I might not want to, there's sometimes the quality's not there. But as long as it looks good, mm-hmm. That's what they're looking for. So
they want it turnkey. The older I get, the more I think I'm a millennial.
Because me too. But this house I told you about earlier, the woman who bought it, she bought half my furniture in this house. Because we kind of took it to that mid-century modern style. And after a lot of the renovation and stuff, it just kind of blended with it. And she's like, this is just fantastic. So she bought half of my inventory that was in that house. So they do want move-in ready. They want everything in place and for it to look wonderful the day they move in.
Now, what do you do if you go into a house that somebody is selling, and let's say it's not a flip. Let's say it's a house that they've lived in for a while and they have it already furnished, and they don't want to get rid of all of their furniture. Of course, I can understand, clearing out and thinning out, but if there's some pieces you can use, can you work around someone's furniture as well? Or do you want a clean slate?
No, we do work around other people's furniture. I'll give you an example. Again, this house was in Upper Arlington, and the people lived there for 40 years, so they had a lot. So the first stage was brought in an auctioneer. They took some things away. Second stage was I brought in a moving team, and we packed up things, and she rented a storage unit, and we moved some of the stuff to the storage unit. And then, I mean, I took down pictures. I wrecked 3 china cabinets. I'd never seen so much china in my life. But yeah, then I brought in a few pieces to accent her pieces. We even took her kitchen table away, but we brought in a smaller one and art and fixed up her little Four Season porch and made it really cute. And her living room, I did not bring any pieces into her living room except for pillows, throws, rugs, accessories, art, and fake plants.
Okay.
And it just opened it up. Now, before we did that, I brought in the painter. I had him paint the walls, the ceilings. It needed something fresh. So yeah, I'll use what they have and I'll brighten it up. I mean, everything in her house was brown, 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 brown. Mm-hmm. That just, my mind explodes when I see brown, brown, brown. So we got rid of as much brown. Her husband wouldn't let us take his recliner out. He said he'd have to move out if I did that. So we didn't remove his recliner.
And you were like, okay.
whatever. So we put a nice colored throw on it, a nice bright pillow, and went with it. But that house never made it to the market. Realtor knew it was coming on. They were approached. They were offered way over what the asking price was going to be. And it was sold without even going on the market.
Wow.
So, it's just, it's so important. I just can't say it enough. It's so important. And I think realtors need to just get used to saying, yes, I'll represent you to sell your house. And what comes with me representing you is I'm going to bring in an expert stager to walk through your home and give you a staging report, which is just homework for them. Things that I'm going to recommend they do that's going to bring in the buyer. Everyone looks online for houses. They look at the pictures. Mm-hmm. That's how we shop for houses these days. So we got to make those pictures look phenomenal. That's why we're here. And that's what we're here to do. And we'll do that with any house. Doesn't matter.
Now, do you actually take the pictures once it's staged, or do you have a professional photographer do your pictures? What happens at that point once it's staged? Yeah,
we always use a professional real estate photographer. Okay. I have one that I offer with my pricing. A lot of realtors already have them and they prefer to use their photographer. So yes, don't ever put a picture out there on an MLS that has not been taken by a professional real estate property photographer. People can tell, they can see right through it. That also tells the buyer that what's going on here, they're trying to cut costs, there's something wrong. You want it to look fabulous. And that's what those photographers do. They are experts. They can make anything look like $1 million. So yes, always use a professional photographer.
Now, I do have another question for you, Nancy. If folks want to get in touch with you, mm-hmm. How can they touch base with you? And what is your actual company name?
My company name is Simply Staged Design. And you can go to my website, which I'll type here in the notes, or give me a direct call. Either way, you can contact me through that. We're happy to set up, even if you just want to meet for a cup of coffee and talk a little bit about what I can do to help you in your business. Or if you've got a house that you need me to take a look at, you know, at any stage, you know, feel free to just give me a call. I'm always available, even if I'm staging or destaging or driving a U-Haul. I do that a lot where it's hard to hear, but I'll answer that phone. I'm really good at that, driving a U-Haul and talking on the phone, multitasking.
Yep, I get it. You've had lots of practice.
I have had lots of practice. So I'll go ahead and type my information in here so everyone has it.
Okay, put that in the chat. We'll watch for that in the chat. And then also with this recording, when I upload it into our platform, I will have all of the contact information mm-hmm. there for Nancy as well.
Okay.
Because I'll grab that out of the chat as well. And make sure in the chat that you might make it to everyone instead of just the panelists. Sometimes you have to click the little button there before you hit send. Mm-hmm. Nancy, do you do short-term rentals as well or just just for sale, the flips, you know, the owner occupied. Do you do any of the short-term rentals?
We do short-term rentals. We will do, you know, VRBOs, whatever. We can also manage those as far as going in completely furnishing it and managing the property, you know, whatever you've got. We can do that. Yes, absolutely.
So you actually manage if it's a short-term rental, or how about a midterm rental, like the visiting nurses that are there for maybe 13 weeks or something?
Yes. Any type of rental, VRBO, whatever. If you've got something like that, you know, that all falls into that same bucket.
Okay.
We furnish it, everything down to dishes, silverware, whatever. We have a list of everything we know or we feel needs to be inside that rental. We send in the cleaning folks daily, or however it's being rented. You manage the lockbox, whatever. So yes, we will do that also. We get a lot of calls for these type of rentals where people are just now getting ready to start renting, and now it's time to furnish it. So, you know, give me a budget, give me your credit card, and I will go out and I'm happy to shop for you. Favorite thing I like to do.
I get it. Now, can you give us just some ballpark numbers for folks that are listening? We've got a lot of newbies. Mm-hmm. We've got some folks that are, that, you know, they found the property, they're in the middle of the rehab, you know, they've worked with Brooks Humphreys, or they've worked with some private money lending, or for whatever reason, they're, mm-hmm. they're getting ready now to put it back out on the market. And what kind of a budget, ballpark, a range, just some idea of what they might need to expect?
Well, it really depends on the size of the property, the price point of the property, how many rooms that they want to stage, you know, what point are they at? So that really all comes into play. My company, I price per room, by the room. And so it just really, again, depends on the price point of the property. If you get into the higher point properties where you're looking at, you know, I'm just going to say 700,000 plus, then it would flip over to 1% of the asking price.
Okay.
So, but the houses that we do, the majority of the houses we do are below that. And that's where we get into, you know, per room pricing. So it just depends on the home.
And so they don't even really have to stage the whole house.
No, you do not. Some people just don't want the living room staged. Now, with that said, just staging the living room, it looks like you just staged the living room. So I recommend you stage the whole first floor, the main living area, and the owner's suite and bath. So that's what's important to buyers: the kitchen, the master bedroom, and where they're going to hang out. I also stage the patios and the front porch because we want to show that, oh, I can picture my family sitting out here and having a barbecue. Awesome. So we have our supply of patio furniture, all shapes and sizes. So yeah, so you can look at an average, let's just say a mid-range house for staging can run anywhere from, you know, $1,800 up to $4,000, just depending on what you're going to bring in there, what you're going to do. One room, though, is probably going to be a lot less than that.
Okay. Or if it's a much smaller unit, let's say they have a condo they're selling, for example, or something, it would be less.
Yes.
So, all right. I get that. Perfect. I love that. Any questions? Anyone in the audience have questions? Put it in the chat. We still have Christy and Derek on with us as part of our leadership team. Christy is my co-mod. Derek is one in the leadership of the group. And so do either of you have any questions for Nancy?
I don't, but I would just like to piggyback on what Nancy said on how important it is to stage these properties. It really does make a difference. It really does. It's very much worth the money that you spend. It pays back in dividends.
Thank you, Christy. Yes.
It does. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. It is.
Yeah, I can see that. And where I noticed it the most is when Airbnb first blew up in short-term rental industry in that whole, you know, lane. You know, folks were putting, you know, their back bedroom on, they were putting, you know, a futon in the breezeway on. And now folks are actually buying beautiful homes just to use on Airbnb in some of these, you know, touristy areas, and they're beautiful. And so now, you know, we've adjusted, and that's the kind of an Airbnb we want. If we're gonna spend that kind of money, then we want it to be really, really nice. Yeah. And so I ponder sometimes how those folks that aren't staging or are not doing professional photography, how well they're actually doing in the marketplace, because their competition that is doing the professional photography and the staging is just head and shoulders above them in the listings. And they're bringing in a much, much bigger price point, a much bigger ticket, and folks are paying it because they want a place. If they're on vacation, that's what they want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how they want to live for a week.
And they want something that's comfortable, that's clean. You know, it just makes such a difference. I see a lot of those where someone's like, I had a room for rent or a bedroom, like, holy smoke, there's no way I would lay in that. So it makes such a difference. I've rented many Airbnbs, and I am so particular when I walk in these places, probably more than others, but you know, what the heck. And after an hour I get there, I calm down, and then I can enjoy the rest of my time. But you know, you get nitpicky, and I, you know, I take care of the Airbnb the way I want the Airbnb that I stay in taken care of. I want it to be clean. I want to feel like it's clean. I want to be able to feel comfortable when I lay my head on the pillow and sit on the sofa. So it's important. It is.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate you being with us, Nancy. This has been a wonderful conversation. And again, some of our newbies, not only are they purchasing long-term buy and holds, but they are purchasing some of those short terms as well. And then we have a certain amount in our group that's doing flips. They're buying properties and getting them ready to put back on the market. And a lot of times, you know, with the cost of the materials these days, first of all, the cost of just getting the property, then the cost of the materials to do the rehab. And now when they're trying to get to the closing table, they need to get the top dollar out of that to offset all of their costs. So this is a way that they can do that. So I really appreciate you coming on. I love everything that you had to say. I am going to get in touch with you sometime later, because we also have a short-term rental group that we would love for you to share your information there for some of our short-term renters.
Great. Happy to help. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
I love it. So thank you so much. Any questions from anyone before we go? Again, Brooks Humphrey's information is in the chat. He put Alex's contact information in there as well. And then we have Nancy Baker's information in there, simplystagedesign.com. And Derek says, no questions from him, but thanks. He said, yes, staging is worth the investment. So yes, absolutely. So I want to thank everybody for coming. Christy, thank you for jumping on. Love seeing you. We need to hook up for lunch soon. And Nancy, thank you again. And Derek, thank you for being on. I want to thank the folks that are attending here today. Adrian, Sherry, thank you so much for being with us. And we will see everyone next time. Bye.